Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to present some work. I'd like to first acknowledge my colleague, Brian Armour, who's an economist who works with me in the Division of Human Development and Disability at the CDC. I'm going to be doing a little bit different twist today. I'm going to be looking kind of more at data from a population level, kind of looking at population level data and statistics among people with a disability. So I think this is probably very familiar to everybody in this room, but This is probably very familiar to everybody in this room, but I just wanted to briefly touch on the food security as we were thinking about it in our projects defined by the USDA. Two levels of food security. They think of high food security, which is no difficulties with food access or no food limitations, and then marginal food security, which may be indicating two or fewer indications of food security using the scale they use, which is 18 different questions. Two levels of food insecurity. The USDA considers low food security, which is reductions in quality, variability, or desirability of food, and then very low food security, which is also combined with altered eating or altered food intake. And just some national numbers. In 2011, the USDA reported that just under 15% of all U.S. households reported some level of food insecurity, which translates to about 17.8 million households. About a third of those, or overall 5.7% nationally, households had very low food security. So again, translating to about 6.8 million households. We also know it's higher in households with children, households that are Black, non-Hispanic, or Hispanic, low-income households, and households in the South and the Western U.S. Yes? Thank you. Is this better? Okay, thank you. I apologize. Some background on disability, again, from a national picture. About 56.7 million people in the U.S. have a disability, and this is numbers that come from the U.S. Census Bureau. This translates up to about 18.7 million people, and this is of all ages. But if we specifically look at people 15 and older, it's a little over 1 in 5. It's about 21.3% of people 15 and older have a disability, which still is over 50 million people. We also know that the prevalence of disability can vary based on what data set you use, the way disability is operationalized. For example, there's over 60 federal definitions alone of disability. A lot of those are tied to the ability to work. But for our purposes today, we're looking at disability from more of a functional perspective. So looking at different functional domains of disability, which is really more in keeping with a public health perspective. Disability-associated healthcare expenditures have been estimated at approximately $400 billion a year. That was using data from 2006, and that includes both public and private payer sources. And we also know that adults with a disability are more likely to smoke. They're also more likely to be obese, report being physically inactive, and are less likely to report getting some preventive health measures, including mammography. We also know that people with disabilities are more likely to be disproportionately poor and are less likely to be employed. So what we wanted to do is, given kind of what we know of the background of disability, we wanted to know if there were differences looking at people with and without a disability and the prevalence of their reported food insecurity, and are there differences if we can stratify by type of disability? And we wanted to know, are there other factors that may be associated with this when we also look at people with a disability? So what we did was we used data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES, and we specifically for this analysis I'll be talking about today used data from the 2007 and 2008 cycle. For those who may not be familiar with NHANES, it's a nationally representative data set. It's conducted continuously in two-year cycles. It's conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics. There's two phases of the data collection. There's a household interview or a questionnaire, and then there's an additional part of the data collection, which involves a medical exam, physiologic measurements, and laboratory testing. There's also some other questions that are included within that, the medical exam part. In 2007 and 8, there were a little over 10,000 individuals who were included in that data cycle, but for our purposes, we've limited our analysis to adults 20 and older, which is just under 6,000 total respondents. A number of the disability questions are not asked, or the data is not gathered for adults under 20, or for people under 20, so that's why we've specifically limited it to that age group. So again, I touched briefly mentioned how we're considering disability, but I wanted to go over how we've defined disability in this data set. We've looked at four functional types of self-reported limitation. We've looked at sensory limitations, so self-reported hearing and vision limitation, or self-reported difficulties in hearing and vision. We've also considered cognitive difficulties, which involves difficulty remembering or reporting that you've experienced periods of confusion. And then the last one, movement or mobility, is difficulty in any of the following domains. And this is a number of 11 different domains. It involves things such as walking between rooms, lifting or carrying items, standing up from an armless chair, reaching overhead or grasping items. So if a respondent reported that they had difficulty doing one, then they were considered to have a movement or mobility difficulty. And NHANES measures household food security using the U.S. Food Security Survey module, which is the last 12 months. It's the same questions that the USDA uses in their calculations. There are 18 items for households with children and 10 for households without. Individual food security measures were also administered to people who responded affirmatively to one of the household level questions. They were focused on the last 30 days, and I'll be reporting on those for adults who were identified as having a disability, not all of them because we had a difficulty with sample size on some of them, but for the ones where we had a robust enough sample size, I'll be reporting those. So we determined the prevalence of being in a food insecure household among people with a disability, and we stratified by type of disability, looking at the functional categories of disability. We also modeled the odds of being in a food insecure household among people with a disability, controlling for a number of sociodemographic indicators. And we've also age-adjusted our estimates to the 2000 U.S. standard population. We typically age-adjust our estimates. The prevalence of disability increases with age, so to help control for that somewhat, we've age-adjusted our estimates and used SAS Callable Sudan to control for the complex sample design of NHANES. Okay. So I just wanted to start out with some just initial results. So for adults 20 and older, about a little over 30% of them were identified as having some type of a limitation with among those four functional groups. Movement or mobility limitation was the highest. That's very similar if we used a definition like this in the National Health Interview Survey, for example, we find very similar results. Movement or mobility limitation the highest. Then the others, hearing, vision, and cognitive limitation are lower. For food security, we found that about 3.7% of adults were identified as living in a household that had very low food security, 7.8% in a household with low food security. So the first thing we did was just stratify by disability. We looked at percent of adults with and without a disability living in a household that was identified as having low or very low food security, and then higher marginal food security. We found that 22.2% of adults with a disability were identified as living in a household with low or very low food security, compared to 8.7% of adults without a disability. And if we just stratify by the four groups, if we can focus on very low food security, 8.6% of adults with a disability were identified as living in a household with very low food security, compared to about 2.4% of adults without a disability. So a little over three times as high among adults with a disability. This slide shows the prevalence of low or very low food security, or living in a household with low or very low food security by type of disability. We can see some variation. Adults with a visual limitation, the highest reporting that they lived in, or reporting that they were in a household with low food security. You can see, although there's some variation, all of them are higher than adults without a disability. And I will note here, the disability groups are not mutually exclusive, so it is possible for a respondent to be in more than one group, which certainly is a limitation with our analysis, but that's why we've made our referent group without a disability, rather than comparing adults, for example, with a mobility limitation to adults without a mobility limitation, where our referent group is adults with no disability. And as I mentioned before, we wanted to look at some other sociodemographic indicators. So we stratified by adults with and without a disability and their percent of poverty level based on family income. So if we look at the bars on the far left-hand side of the graph, we can see those are people who are identified as living in a household with a family income of less than 100% of the poverty level. 16.6% of adults with a disability were identified as living in a household with very low food security, compared to 7.6% of adults without a disability. And we see similar trends. Of course, as income goes up, food insecurity decreases, but we still see the disparity by disability across all the three groups. By race and ethnicity, similar findings. Adults with a disability more likely than adults without to report being in a household with very low food security. There's not a statistical difference when we look at respondents who were Hispanic, but there were statistically significant differences among non-Hispanic white and non-Hispanic black respondents. And I didn't choose to show them today, but we looked also at education level, marital status, and we see very similar findings. So as with income, as education increases, as we would expect, food insecurity decreases, but still similar patterns of disparity by disability. So we modeled the odds of being in a food insecure household. Looking at the effect of disability, we've controlled for age, gender, race, and ethnicity, marital status, poverty, and education level. We can see that for adults with a disability have 2.2 times the odds of reporting being in a food insecure household compared to adults without a disability, all of the other factors being equal. And we see similar with when we look specifically at the type of disability, we can see ranging from 2.5 an odds ratio of 2.5 for adults with a hearing limitation up to about 2.9 for adults with a cognitive limitation. So as I mentioned previously, people who responded affirmatively to one of the household level questions were asked some individual questions, and these were focused on the last 30 days. So we can see that 40% of adults with a disability, and again, these were ones that had responded affirmatively to at least one of the household questions, reported that they had cut the size of a meal within the last 30 days because there wasn't enough money for food, in comparison to about 25.5% of adults without a disability. Vary somewhat by type of disability. They're all somewhat statistically similar, but they're all statistically higher than adults without a disability. 27.7% of adults with a disability reported skipping a meal in the last 30 days because there wasn't enough money for food, compared to about 15.7% of adults without a disability. All of them, with the exception of visual limitation, were statistically higher than no disability. And nearly a third, 31.4% of adults with a disability, reported that in the last 30 days they ate less than they should because there wasn't enough money for food, compared to about 21% of adults without a disability. And again, by type, ranging from about 31% up to 40% adults with a hearing limitation. And the last one that I'll be showing today is 20.7% of adults with a disability reported that they were hungry but didn't eat in the last 30 days because they didn't have enough money for food, nearly twice as high compared to adults without a disability. All of them statistically different. Hearing, probably not with multiple comparisons, but all of them statistically higher than adults without a disability. So briefly in conclusion, kind of taking a national picture of adults with a disability, we see that they're more likely to report being in a food insecure household compared to adults without a disability. We did, again, see some variation by type of disability, not necessarily statistical difference, but that it did vary somewhat, and I think the fact we thought some this, you know, and I'll talk about limitations very briefly in a minute. This is a national cross-sectional database, so we're not able to get into a lot of like why we may see some differences, but we certainly have some thoughts coming from a disability perspective. Thinking of income, people with a disability may have certain if they have to purchase medications, medical equipment, personal care, other things that they're spreading their funds out can certainly be a contributing factor. Employment, we know that people with a disability are less likely to be employed compared to people without a disability. Other factors such as transportation, having difficulty with physical accessibility to transportation, also financial ability or having to rely on others for transportation. And we also put up here reliance on caregivers, whether it's a paid caregiver or a family member who's providing care, relying on them to get your food or to prepare meals for them. So again, just very briefly, limitations are data were self-report. We have no information on duration, permanence, or severity of the disability, and we don't have any information on necessarily underlying medical condition or the cause of disability. As I mentioned before, the disability groups are not mutually exclusive. It's a limitation, but again, our comparison group is always adults without a disability. And again, just the cross-sectional nature of the data can be unclear specifically at what may be driving the differences. So our next steps will be, again, this is a work in progress, and first thing we want to do is add additional years of data. I think that'll kind of give us some more robust estimates, especially for some of the questions I didn't show today. We can see if there's some differences there. We'd also like to look at additional data contained in the NHANES and look at more complex activity disability groups such as self-care or community independence, which may give us sort of a proxy for severity. Thank you.